Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. Brian Lin will tell us how southern Thailand's tourism industry is trying to recover after deadly bombings in several provinces earlier this month. Bruce Alpert will tell us about a study that shows the Zika virus may affect adult brains. Until now, scientists mostly worried about Zika's effect on the brains of babies whose mothers were infected with the virus during pregnancy. We will hear about Uber's plans to deploy driverless cars in a major American city. Dorothy Gundy will introduce us to FarmBot, a robot that plants vegetable seeds, controls the soil's moisture, waters the seeds and plants, and removes any wild plants or weeds. In our weekly personal tech report, we will compare video calling services, including Skype, FaceTime, Messenger, and Google Hangouts. And Dan Friedel will review the performances at the Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro of some of the athletes we told you about before the games began. So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today, so let's get started.
Officials in Thailand are working to help the tourism industry in several provinces affected by deadly bombings earlier this month. Bombings in several southern provinces killed or wounded more than 30 people, including foreigners. Experts say more attacks could have a deeper effect on the industry, which is very important to the country's economy. Economists at the University of the Thai Chamber of Commerce say the attacks may cause up to 365,000 fewer people to visit the provinces. And they estimate the areas could lose $170 million in revenue. Popular beach resort areas were targeted by the attacks. They include Hua Hin, where the Thai royal family has a vacation home. Lisa Ong Hong is the president of the Hua Hin Cha'am Tourism Association. She said the area is returning to normal after the shock of the bombings. She said there were cancellations by some Thais, but not from abroad. From abroad, they just see the situation. I have many emails from our clients who seem to understand, she said. In addition to Hua Hin, attacks by people setting fires or exploding bombs took place in 6 provinces. Phuket, which had almost 30 million visitors in 2015, was among the affected areas. Surat Thani, Phang Nga, Trang, Chupong, and Nakhon Sitamarat also had attacks. The World Travel and Tourism Council says tourists spend $72 billion a year in Thailand. The industry directly or indirectly employs about 5 million people. That is more than 14% of all jobs in the country. Officials expect about 33 million people to visit Thailand this year. They say about 30% of them will come from China. In 2015, the bombing of a Hindu shrine in Bangkok killed 20 people and wounded 120. Many of those killed or hurt were from Asia. Thailand's tourism revenues dropped 20% after the attack. The number of visitors to the country dropped sharply in the last 3 months of last year. The numbers have only begun to increase this year. Sukanya Chando is the general manager of a Bangkok hotel and the vice president of the Thai Hotels Association. He said fewer people canceled their planned visits after this year's attacks than did after the bombing in Bangkok in 2015. I would admit that yes, when that kind of thing happens, they would have some cancellations. But I would say it was nowhere near the magnitude of the previous tragic event, he said. Economist Sombab Manarangsang said the lack of information about the attacks and the attackers has caused people to fear more violence. It depends on whether it's going to happen again, he said. I think if it is only one incident and no more like that, I don't think it's going to have a big impact on the Thai economy, particularly the business sector. Analysts disagree about whether the attacks are linked to politics. The attacks happened soon after voters approved a new military-supported constitution. It is expected to increase the military's influence in the next elected parliament. Other experts link the attacks to Muslim rebels in the provinces on the southern border with Malaysia. Peace talks between the rebels and the government have been moving very slowly. Porntip Hurunkate is the vice president of the Tourism Council of Thailand. She said the industry has called on the government to increase security to prevent further attacks. We have asked the government to take more precautions, especially security, buildings, airports, and hotels. There's more measures for security. The concern is if there is a repeat. That's why I think we all need to be alert and prepared if anything happens, Porntip said. I'm Brian Lin.
New research suggests the Zika virus may damage some cells in adult brains. Until now, scientists mainly worried about Zika's effects on the brains of babies whose mothers were infected with the virus during pregnancy. The Rockefeller University and La Jolla Institute for Allergy and Immunology carried out the new research. The findings were published last week in the Cell Stem Cell Journal. The research suggests the Zika virus could infect some kind of adult cells. These cells are considered important to learning and memory. This is the first study looking at the effect of Zika infection on the adult brain, says Joseph Gleason. He is a professor at Rockefeller University and head of the Laboratory of Pediatric Brain Disease. Gleason says, "Based on our findings, getting infected with Zika as an adult may not be as innocuous as people think." By innocuous, Gleason means not seeming to have a harmful effect. In their study, the researchers examined cells in mice. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, the Zika virus is spread mostly by a bite from an infected mosquito. Zika can be passed from a pregnant woman to her fetus, the CDC said. It said infection during pregnancy can cause certain birth defects. Gleason, the Rockefeller University professor, says most adults seem able to overcome the harmful effects of Zika. But he said people with compromised immune systems could face problems. An immune system protects a person from disease and infection. The major worry, Gleason says, is that Zika could affect long-term memory in some adults. However, he adds, that a lot more research is needed. Suzanne Shrestha is a professor at the La Jolla Institute of Allergy and Immunology. She notes that most adults infected with Zika do not show any health problems. Shrestha said the effects on adult brain cells may not be as clear as the effects on babies infected with the Zika virus. Shrestha said, thanks to the new research, health officials now know what to look for. I'm Bruce Alpert.
In a small home garden, about 1.5 meters wide and 3 meters long, a robotic device called the FarmBot is busy planting vegetable seeds. The FarmBot will control the soil's moisture, water the seeds and plants, and take out any wild plants or weeds. Rory Aronson is the inventor of the FarmBot and chief executive officer of the company that produces it. He tells VOA who would find the device helpful.
Our ideal customer is somebody who is a maker or a hacker type person who wants to grow their own food but doesn't have the time.
Aronson says he has been testing the FarmBot in his garden.
We had Swiss chard, arugula, spinach. We also had broccoli, kale, beets, and parsnips. We had 65 plants total. And so we got a pretty good amount.
To survive in extreme weather, the FarmBot is made of aluminum, stainless steel, and 3D printed plastic. The tools are designed to plant, water, and care for each vegetable. They are attached to a long, thin rod that moves up and down the garden. Aronson says putting the FarmBot together takes about 8 hours.
If you can use a screwdriver and follow instructions, you should be able to put FarmBot together no problem.
The FarmBot works with internet programs and can design a garden based on each person's needs. Its software is open source. That means the computer program that makes it work can be freely used, changed, and shared by anyone. Hundreds of people have already ordered the FarmBot online. They can expect to receive their devices in February. The cost of the FarmBot is $3,100. For now, it is only one size, but the company is planning to make bigger robots for commercial gardening. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Last week, Google launched Duo, a new video calling app. It was first announced in May this year. Duo means two. As its name suggests, Duo allows two callers to connect on an Android or iOS device. Duo is easy to use and does not require knowing someone else's username. Video calls can be placed simply with phone numbers. But Duo does require users to download an app. And it enters a crowded field of video calling services, including Skype, FaceTime, Messenger, and Hangouts. Choosing a video calling service can be difficult because the services have different features. The key is learning what features are important for what situations. Some people use more than one video calling service. For example, they may use one service with friends and another for business. Fortunately, all these video services are free, so users can try them without spending any money. Here are some things to consider when choosing a service. 1. Adding an app. Many of these services do not work unless you download a separate app for them. If your friends don't already have a video calling app, they may be unwilling or unable to download a new one. 2. Signing up for an account. Similarly, if you don't want to sign up for a new account to use a video chat service, you may want one that works without needing a new account. For example, FaceTime is built into Mac computers, iPhones, and iPads. No additional app is necessary. And because many people already are on Facebook, they can use Messenger for video calls without downloading a new app. 3. Voice calls. Some services also offer voice calls. For example, FaceTime, Messenger, and Skype allow users to make voice as well as video calls. Skype offers voice calls to other Skype accounts for free and to phone numbers for a fee. FaceTime lets users call iPhone phone numbers around the world for free. 4. Platforms. The more platforms a video calling service can work on, the better. Duo, Skype, Messenger, and Hangouts all offer apps across platforms. They can be used on both Android and iOS devices, such as iPhone and iPad. FaceTime is for Apple devices only, including Mac, iPhone, and iPad. 5. Computer. Many video calling services can be used on computers as well as on mobile devices. FaceTime, Messenger, Skype, and Hangouts all let users make video calls using a computer, phone, and tablet. Users do need to have a video camera on their computers to use these services. Duo is not available for computers. 6. Ease of use. Duo and FaceTime are the easiest services to use. Calls can easily be answered, and users can switch between the front and rear cameras on a phone. 7. Connecting with others. Connecting with others should be simple. Skype users must know a friend's username before placing a video call on Skype. But Duo and FaceTime users need only a friend's phone number to place a video call. Messenger lets users make video calls to their Facebook friends. And Hangouts users can place calls with their friends' Gmail addresses or on Google+. 8. Multiple users. Some video calling services let users have group chats with multiple people joining a call at the same time. Hangouts, Skype, and Messenger let users add multiple people to the call. Duo and FaceTime allow users to connect only two callers. 9. Screen sharing. Screen sharing allows users to display their computer screens in the video call instead of the image from the camera. This feature is useful to demonstrate something or to get help solving a computer issue. Hangouts and Skype allow screen sharing. Duo has a feature called Knock Knock that shows video from the caller before the user answers the call. Knock Knock works only on iOS when the Duo app is open. The app will also lower the quality of the video if the internet signal strength is weak. Because Duo is new this month, users will probably have to ask friends to add the app in order to connect with the service. FaceTime lets users of Apple products connect via video and voice calls. The service is easy to use and available on iPhone, iPad, and Mac computers. Users can connect with others using cell phone numbers or email addresses. Skype is Microsoft's video chat service. Users can also make voice calls on Skype. Skype calls can be made using a computer or a mobile device. People then use screen sharing to see each other's screens during a video call. Up to 25 people can be added to a group Skype call. Skype also offers voice messages and other features. Facebook's video calling service, Messenger, is available on computers in chat using Chrome, Firefox, and Opera browsers, but not on Safari. It also works on mobile devices in the Messenger app. Users click on the camera icon to begin a video chat with a Facebook friend. In April, Messenger was updated to allow group chats. Google's other video calling service is Hangouts, which is available on computers and mobile devices using the Hangouts app. Users can add multiple people to the video chat and share their computer screens. I'm Jill Robbins.
VOA Learning English featured a number of athletes who were to compete in the Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. During the closing ceremony Sunday night, Rio's mayor passed the Olympic flag to the city of Tokyo, Japan. In the highlight of the night, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe arrived at the Maracanã Stadium dressed as the famous video game character Super Mario. Japan will host the next Summer Olympics in 2020. but it is worth looking back to find out how some of the athletes we wrote about in VOA Learning English performed in Rio. We wrote about refugee athletes from South Sudan who trained at the Tegla Lerupe Center in Kenya. Rose Natike Lokonyen competed in the 800-meter race in Rio de Janeiro. She did not run fast enough to advance out of the preliminary round. VOA Learning English also wrote about some of the Taekwondo athletes from Ivory Coast. There were 50 athletes from the continent of Africa competing in sports like Taekwondo and Judo. Three of them were from Ivory Coast. Ruth Bogby was in her second Olympics. She competed in the 67-kilogram division. Bogby won her first match against an athlete from Egypt, 4-3. Then she lost to an athlete from France, 5-4. That meant she could still win a bronze medal if she won two more matches. And she did. Bogby defeated an athlete from Azerbaijan, 7-1, to win a bronze medal. But that was just the beginning of the celebration for Ivory Coast. Bogby's teammate, Cheikh Cisse, won the gold medal in the men's 80-kilogram division. It was the first ever gold medal for Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast only had one Olympic medal before this year. Cisse defeated an athlete from Great Britain, 8-6, to win the gold. Learning English also looked at American distance runner Alexi Pappas. She competed at the Olympics for Greece. She trained for the Games while making a movie about life in Eugene, Oregon. Pappas ran in the women's 10,000-meter race. She finished 17th out of almost 40 runners. But she will always be able to say she was on the track during a world record. Almaz Ayana of Ethiopia finished the race in 29 minutes, 17.45 seconds to break the world record by almost 14 seconds. VOA Learning English wrote about three runners from Kenya who attended universities in the U.S. When they were finished with school, they wanted to become American citizens. The fastest way to citizenship, they learned, was to join the U.S. Army. So that is what they did. Paul Chelimo, Shadrach Kipchirchir, and Leonard Corrier are on active duty in the Army, but they are also part of a special program for top athletes. Chelimo qualified for the 5,000-meter race, and Kipchirchir and Corrier were in the 10,000-meter race. Corrier finished 14th, and Kipchirchir finished 19th. But in the 5,000 meters, Chelimo won the silver medal. Chelimo finished less than 1 second behind Mo Farah of Great Britain. At first, Chelimo thought he had won the silver medal, but then he was told that he was disqualified. Officials said he went out of bounds at one point in the race. But after studying video, judges from the International Association of Athletics Federations awarded Chelimo the silver medal. I'm Dan Friedel.
That's our program for today. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from The Voice of America.